One of my favorite stories in the Gospels about Jesus happens to be an excellent example of the tension that existed between Jesus and the Pharisees. And this story is found in Luke chapter 7, beginning down around what we call as verse 36. In this passage, we have a story. Luke shares a story with us with three main characters: Jesus, Simon, who is a Pharisee, and an unnamed woman who crashes the party that is being held, or the dinner that's being held at Simon's house. And the result is a very insightful look into the heart of Jesus, of kind of what made Jesus tick. And therefore, it also gives us a very insightful look into what it means to be his disciples, which is something we should be fairly interested in. Right? Fair enough? Okay, if you've not already done so, if you're like me, you've been busy doing something else, go to Luke chapter 7. We're going to kind of walk our way down through this story rather quickly, beginning in verse 36. The story begins with Jesus receiving an invitation from one of the Pharisees, and his particular name was Simon. And the invitation was to come have dinner at his house. So when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Now, just a little bit of insight into here that I think helps make some of the story as it unfolds a little bit more understandable. Archaeologists have discovered that in the days of Jesus' earthly ministry, the more affluent homes typically had a courtyard area, which would often serve as a place for a meal when there was a rather large crowd of people expected for dinner. And oftentimes, we believe, part of this dinner would be an invitation to the community not to come eat, but to maybe gather around the outer walls of the courtyard and listen in on the conversation that took place during the meeting. And so if you were a person of some means, you might have this kind of home with a large courtyard. And if there was a politician maybe making his way through the community, or maybe a military leader that different ones knew, or maybe a young rabbi that a lot of people were talking about, you would invite them maybe over for dinner, and there'd be certain people eating the meal, and then there'd be just other community folks kind of gathered around who weren't there to eat, but who were there to kind of just listen to the dinner conversation, to kind of, you know, hear what's going on. And so a lot of scholars kind of believe this is maybe the background to this story that Luke is telling us here. So in your mind, kind of envision an evening meal, and you've got Jesus and maybe some of his disciples, and you've got Simon and maybe some of his friends, and you've got some servants who are serving the food, and around the walls maybe, or around the side of the courtyard, you've got some people from the community who've just kind of showed up to kind of listen in on whatever the dinner conversation happens to be. In the midst of all of that, something happens that probably no one was expecting to happen during the evening. Verse 37, a woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. So, while Jesus is reclining at the table, again, remember in this ancient custom, they didn't sit at tables and chairs like we do, but they would often recline on pillows around a rather low table. And so during this meal, this woman, now we don't know her name. We don't really know anything about her other than the fact that she has a reputation. Okay? Now, that may, in your mind, take you down a certain path. I don't know. It could have been that she was known for thievery. But most of you are probably thinking something sexual, because that's just kind of what we do when a woman has a reputation. Truth is, we don't know what that reputation was. She had one. What it centered on, none of us know, but they knew. As we might say, her reputation preceded her. And she's not really welcome at this event. She has crashed the dinner party. She has learned that Jesus is at this party. She knows something about Jesus. She wants to show her love and appreciation to Jesus. Maybe they've even had an interaction before this dinner party, and she wants to go do something for him. And so she shows up unannounced, uninvited, and unwelcome. And she proceeds to anoint Jesus, basically, with some perfume that she brought with her, as well as she is weeping to the point that she has enough tears flowing down her face that she's able to wash the feet of Jesus with her tears. And then she begins to dry his feet with her hair. And so this is quite a spectacle now, if you can get this in your mind's eye, so to speak, and kind of envision what this might have looked like. This is uncomfortable for the people who are watching it on several levels. One level is she is actually touching Jesus. And that was both a religious and a cultural no-no. Maybe more, well, I don't know which one it was worse. It was both. Women, even women with good reputations, did not touch, physically touch rabbis in Jesus' day. In fact, some rabbis were known to not even acknowledge their own mothers in public back in the day. It just wasn't done. And so here is this woman touching Jesus. Now, look, some of you think, I don't like to be hugged. Okay? In fact, I had somebody come up to me just this morning and say, I'm not going to hug you. So this has kind of gotten out of hand, and I need to just kind of, you know, look, I'm not against hugging you. I'll hug you if you really want me to hug you. Now, I may give you a side hug, okay? I know you didn't want to hug me. I wasn't even going to tell who it was, but it was Rick Murdoch. All right. Some of you are huggers, and some of us are okay with it. I just like to have fun with you. But culturally, it's okay for you to come up and shake my hand, pat my back, give me a hug, whatever you want to do. But look, that just wasn't what they did. And so for this woman to come in and actually physically lay her hands on Jesus, that was a, what is she doing moment. And so you can almost hear the people gathered around. Okay, you need to know that. Secondly, another cultural breach of etiquette here is she's let her hair down in public, which in many circles was considered to be immodest. She's let her hair down, and she's actually using her hair to dry the feet of Jesus. Now, again, that's not a cultural thing here. Pretty much every woman in here, with the exception of a few of you, kind of have your hair down. You don't have it up. You don't have it covered. It's just there. And that's good. That's okay. That's just a cultural preference. But in that culture, that was not good. And so when she lets her hair down, again, that's an, what is she doing? Type of moment. And so there's awkwardness in this. She's touching Jesus. She's got her hair down. She's weeping. She's crying. This is just kind of awkward. And now, okay, in the story we learn that Simon is offended by this whole scene. He's offended by this spectacle. Verse 39. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "Well, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Now, you gotta kind of read it the way it was likely said. If this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him. And he would know what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. That's kind of how I envision Simon saying this. He's offended by what she's doing. He's offended by her presence. He's offended by the whole spectacle. Jesus uses what's going on to tell a story within a story, right? And so he says to Simon, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Well, tell me, teacher." "Two people owed money to a certain money lender, and one owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" And Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." Good answer, Simon. Jesus said, "You have judged correctly." Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, and here's our question. We're in a series of lessons on the questions Jesus asked of those he encountered during his ministry. Here's the question. Jesus says to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" Now, Simon is not blind. And so obviously he sees this woman, but not really. In fact, Simon is really blind in two areas. First of all, while he sees this woman, he doesn't really see her. She's just another woman like so many other women in his life. someone to be dismissed, someone to be ignored, someone who really wasn't considered to be much more than property. She is not his equal. She is not worthy of his attention. She is not worthy of his respect. She's a woman. And in his eyes, in Simon's eyes, that made her second class at best. And so, no, he doesn't see her. He sees her like he sees all women. Someone basically to be dismissed and ignored. And then beyond that, no, he doesn't see her the way Jesus sees her, because Jesus is looking at her heart and Simon just sees her as a sinner. Someone to be walled off and protected from, someone to be separated from, someone to be ignored, someone who he is not going to have any contact with because she might make him unclean because of her sin. And so when Jesus says, "Simon, do you see this woman?" Yes, he saw her, but no, he didn't really see her. Not the way Jesus saw her. "I came into your house. You didn't give me any water for my feet." Common custom in that culture was if someone came into your house, you had a servant there to wash their feet because everybody's feet were dirty. And if you were going to have a meal, you were going to be close to somebody's feet because you're reclining at the table. And so it was a common custom when you went into someone's house, there was a servant there, someone there, whose job it was to wash everybody's feet. Simon didn't even care enough about Jesus to have somebody to wash his feet when he came into his house. "I came into your house, Simon. Not only did you not have a servant to do it, you didn't even give me a bowl of water so I could do it myself. You didn't give me any water for my feet, but this woman has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss." Again, when someone comes into your home, you greet them at the door. What are you likely to do? Maybe you kiss them on the cheek, maybe not. You at least greet them in some way. If you're a guy and it's another guy, you might shake his hand, right? You would do something that would welcome the person into your home. Simon doesn't even do that. He doesn't greet Jesus with the customary kiss. "But this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head." Again, just a sign of respect. "But this woman has poured perfume on my feet." Now, the implication of all this is Simon doesn't love Jesus very much. Simon doesn't think he needs Jesus very much, and so he doesn't love Jesus very much. This woman, on the other hand, knows she needs Jesus, and she's showing Jesus how much she loves him. Verse 47, "Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." That kind of leads me to believe there might have been a prior relationship between this woman with Jesus. He's already forgiven her sins, and now she's coming and showing him how much she appreciates what he's done for her. "But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Simon doesn't have anything to be forgiven, so he doesn't love very much. She had a lot to be forgiven for. She knows it, and she's loving Jesus deeply. Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus knew who he was, knew he had the authority to do that. And then Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." All right, there's a lot I could unpack from this story. It's a great story. I love this story. One of my favorite stories because it's such a visual story. I can just see all of this happening and imagine in my mind what it might have looked like. But a couple of teaching points I want to pull out of this story to leave with you. Very basically, I think we learn at least a couple of things that are important to us as disciples, and this is why we're looking at these questions that Jesus asked. That is, what are these questions and the answers that we see coming out of these questions have to say to us about disciples of Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple? What does this story teach us about following Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus? There are at least two very simple things that come out of this story. And that is, we learn from Simon how we should not be, and we learn from the woman how we should be. At the very least, we get these two teaching points coming out of this story. We learn from Simon how we should not be. As disciples of Jesus, we should not look at women the way Simon looked at women. Now, men, wake up and pay attention to what I'm about to say, because I'm going to talk to the guys here. Guys, women are not to be looked at or treated disrespectfully or as second-class citizens. As disciples of Jesus, we need to be lifting our sisters in Christ and all women in general up, not disrespecting and putting them down. Come on. Adam and Eve were co-laborers in the garden. Both were given the task of caring for the garden, populating the earth, and subduing the creation. In the eyes of God, women have never been inferior to men. Different? Yes. Inferior? No. God does not view women as being inferior to men. And therefore, men, we need to quit treating them as inferior to us. Especially in the church. We are co-laborers in the work that God has given us to do in His kingdom. In the eyes of God, women were never intended by God to be mere sex objects created by Him for the purpose of pleasing the men and bearing our children. And if that's the way we see women, then we need a new set of eyes. Amen? Amen. Our sisters, our mothers, our grandmothers in Christ deserve better than some of us have given them. And we need to do better, guys. We just need to do better. When it came to women, Simon needed new eyes. And I think some of us likely do too. Now, also, Simon shows us how not to look at sinners in general, male or female. Simon felt justified in separating himself from any contact or relationship with this woman sinner. He built a wall around himself, and so did those that he associated with, in order to keep them from having any contact with such people. So here's a good question, I think, for us as disciples of King Jesus. How should we view or see sinners? If we have eyes like Simon, we will likely see them only for who they've been or may still be. But if we have the eyes of Jesus, we will see all people for who and what they can become through the transforming power of the gospel. Amen? We need to see people like Jesus sees people. Not as people to be disrespected in regards to women, or people to be avoided in regards to sinners. Simon needed new eyesight, and I'm thinking that some of us might need some new eyesight as well. Secondly, if we learn anything from Simon about how we should not be, We also learn a few things from the woman about how we should be. Like this woman, I think it is likely that all of us at various points in our lives have wanted to start over, have wished we could get a do-over, have thought to ourselves, I wish that I could be clean and really feel that way. But we've been afraid to believe that such is possible. I really don't know how many times over the years I have counseled people who were concerned that they had sinned so much, so grievously, so deeply, that they could not possibly be forgiven and start over. And maybe I'm speaking to someone right now who, if truth could be told, you kind of feel that way about yourself. Had a few hands to go up. I wasn't looking for that, but appreciate you brothers being that honest about where you are and what you feel. If this story teaches us anything, though, I think it shows us that no hole is too deep for the reach of Jesus. This sinner approached Jesus in humility and faith, believing that Jesus would not reject her or further shame her or disown her, but would give her the hope of her heart, and that is a new, fresh start. And Jesus did not disappoint this woman. And I am convinced of this as much as I am of anything, that he will do the same for anyone who comes to him with similar humility, hope, and faith. We sing a song that rightly declares this truth. Deeper than the ocean and wider than the sea is the grace of the Savior for sinners like me. Sent from the Father, and it thrills my soul just to feel and to know that His blood makes me whole. Higher than the mountains and brighter than the sun, it was offered at Calvary for every one. Greatest of treasures, and it's mine today. Though my sins were as scarlet, He has washed them away. His grace reaches me. Yes, His grace reaches me and will last through eternity. Now I'm under His control and I'm happy in my soul just to know that His grace reaches me. There is not a soul in the sound of my voice this morning who cannot be made clean, who cannot be made whole, who cannot start over, who cannot begin again because of the goodness and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. This story teaches me that when, like this woman, I come to Jesus humble and faithful and hopeful, He will not disappoint. His grace reaches even me. and reaches even you and reaches the whole world who's willing to come to Him. So, may we have the eyes and heart of Jesus so that we might see and treat all people the way our King would treat them, and have us see and treat each other. May we never come to believe that we or anyone else, for that matter, is too far gone and beyond the gracious helping hand of King Jesus. For though all our sins are as scarlet, His blood can make all of us whole. If we can help you this morning, walk with you, pray with you, if we can baptize you into Christ and begin a new walk with Him, we extend that invitation to you. Bless your neighbor, would you? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.